This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by TextualTees.com, your one-stop shop for novelty tees and apparel. Free shipping on domestic orders with fast and friendly customer service. Support this program by going to GalacticNetcasts.com and clicking the Textual Tees banner. Show some love for your favorite sci-fi TV show, movie, video game, meme, and more with the shirt from Textual Tees.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 102 in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I'm Dave. Skine, or is it Skeen Nelson? Tell me.
Skane.
Skane?
Yep.
Dave Skane Nelson. Joining me as always is Brad Gaggle Ludwig, and from he's from Wausau, Wisconsin, and Anessa Flock-Moyens from Denton, Texas, and I believe... That is the last time I will be saying Anessa Moyens from Denton, Texas. Am I right?
Yeah, it is.
So this is your last podcast before you make the big move.
It is. I'll be taking about 3 weeks off, and then I'll be back from Wausau, Wisconsin. Woohoo!
With plenty of tales to tell, I'm guessing, from the move.
Yes.
Experiences are great for stories. You can get a lot of stories out of experiences, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah, you definitely can. And in case you're wondering about the nicknames, they all have to do with geese.
Okay.
Because a skein would be a flock of geese, but up in the sky, a gaggle's on the ground, and then just generic flock.
What's the motivation?
I bought these super awesome sunglasses from Target, and they've got like little geese on them.
Oh, neat. That's cool.
And so that was the motivation.
They're adorable.
All right. Well, let's go from adorable to aliens, who most times are not adorable. That's what this show is all about. And the appearance of aliens everywhere in the universe, everywhere, including film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show divided into three sections. The news, I'm going to say creature feature, but I do have a surprise for you guys coming up. We may not be doing the creature feature this week, and but... It's for a good reason, and I will tell you why. That's a little tease, all right?
Okay.
And
I'm leery of this change.
I
don't like change. And we wrap things up with the picks for the week. If you want to watch
us. You don't like change, but you're moving across country.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
What did they do for you?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you're gonna hate it during the process. You'll like the result, but you'll hate the process.
I absolutely hate moving. Like, hate.
Yeah.
Why I've stayed in this the apartment for 3 years, because I hate moving.
Okay, make a note.
I love you, sweetie. Just so you know.
Make a note. Number one, Anessa hates change. And number two, she said the S word very early into the show.
I know. Bam.
Yeah. Wow. Right off the bat. That could mean a lot more.
That's my girl.
Potentially. All right. If you want to watch us do the show live, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus. We'll tell you when and where that's going to be. We usually record Wednesday nights on Google Plus Hangouts or on YouTube Live as well. So we got that going for us. All right. Are you guys ready to start?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In the news.
And Anessa, you are first up this time around.
Woohoo! So, I actually came across this blog post on Huffington Post, and its title is "That Time Subterranean Aliens Killed 60 People in New Mexico." Caught my attention.
It sounds like the title of a sitcom episode.
It does. So, it apparently happened in Dulce, New Mexico, which is located on the Colorado-New Mexico border. It's a small town with a population of under 3,000 people, and it's the tribal headquarters for the Hikaria Apache Reservation. I don't know how they say their names. Probably totally wrong. It's also the alleged location of a secret underground alien base. Philip Schneider, an explosive engineer who worked for the U.S. government with high-level security clearance, claimed that in 1979 he participated in the building of a secret underground base in Dulce, New Mexico. It was here that a horrific battle played out, leaving 60 humans dead and countless subterranean aliens fighting for their lives. Schneider asserts that he was suspicious of the engineering operation while noticing the presence of Green Berets and Special Forces. His fears were realized when, after drilling underground, he came face to face with a 7-foot-tall, skinny gray alien. Obviously, he freaked out and grabbed a pistol he was carrying, because that's what engineers totally do, and shot and killed two aliens. Another alien shot some laser plasma ball, or something like that, and blew off some of his fingers. He was saved by a Green Beret who allegedly gave his life for him. In all, 60 human people allegedly lost their lives that day at the Alien-Human Battle of Dulce. There's a war under there, and it's been going on since that time, he said. He spoke of 1,400 underground bases around the world, 129 of which were located in the United States. Each cost $17 billion or more, and he said the black budget, hidden from other U.S. government agencies and from the public, garners 25% of the gross national product. Military forces from multiple countries have been engaged in such warfare with aliens, he said. And that was coming from the Epoch Times. Schneider became an outspoken advocate for the government to be more transparent about their knowledge of alien life. He also believed people in the government were trying to shut him up. When he died by suicide, his supporters called shenanigans.
Is that what the story actually says, is shenanigans?
It says foul play.
Okay.
But I like shenanigans better.
When in doubt, go with shenanigans.
Yep.
So political scientist Michael Barkin claimed that the underground missile base installations built during the Cold War may have led to numerous rumors and ultimately led to the Dulce alien cave base legend. However, in 1999, the French government published a study concluding that the United States government has withheld evidence that point to the existence of UFOs. The paper was entitled UFOs and Defense: What Must We Be Prepared For? The lesson here? The truth is out there. Or is it? Maybe, but probably not. Or it could be.
Are you sure you got this story from Huffington Post?
Yep.
Yeah.
It sounds
oddly
off.
Enough, as I was looking for stories, I grabbed the same one, and I was going to, you know, put it in show prep, and I went, oh, I selected the same story as you from the Huffington Post.
Great minds think alike.
It's HuffingtonPost.com. It's under their weird news for April 23rd.
It sounds more like a weekly world news story.
It does, but they've got images of, like, where the base is supposedly located, aerial photos, and, like, layers of what the base is made out of. So you've got, like, the first floor closest to the surface being security communications. Second would be human staff housing. Third would be execs and labs. Fourth, mind control experiments. Fifth would be alien housing. The sixth would be genetic experiments. And the seventh would be cryogenic storage.
Wait a second.
Oh,
alien.
And there's also an underground shuttle to LA, apparently. Or no, Los Alamos.
That's cool. So wait a second. Alien housing, I thought that the purpose of this base was to fight the aliens.
Maybe those are captors, like prisoners?
Or defectors.
Yeah, maybe they're in cahoots with the humans.
Maybe these are, like, they were fighting the Gutens during this war. And then they had our allies, like, housed on the fifth floor.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe somehow the Gutens were able to make their way in. And I can't think of the name of the other aliens.
The Zebons.
Zebons, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe the Zebons are the ones that are hanging out down below.
All right. Good theory. What do you think, Brad? What do you think of this whole deal? Is it? Do you think this is possible? Think this is true? Think it's actual reality?
Well, he was an engineer. Man, who knows what kind of chemicals and things he was exposed to. I don't know.
Maybe he spent a lot of time on floor six, or no, floor four with mind control experiments.
Could be. I know that, I mean, their black budget, there's always, you know, when they go through budgeting, there is a whole section that's like, okay, this is for intelligence purposes. But we've got how many bases, and each one is 129 at $17 billion each?
And it's not just us, it's other countries too, right, Anessa? That's what the story said?
Well, there's over 1,400 bases around the world, 129 of which are located in the United States.
Okay.
At $17 billion a pop?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Well, this war between the subterranean aliens and the humans might explain all the recent earthquakes. Maybe that's the result of the battle heating up a little bit, and they started using bigger bombs.
Fracking.
So you're a Battlestar Galactica fan, Brad?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. We've talked about the subterranean aliens before, right, on the show? We've discussed them.
As a creature feature? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yep, yep.
Cool. Well, this would make a great book. In fact, I just, my wife, which is weird to say, by the way, I started reading one of her many books, and it was a story similar to this, where humans discovered aliens living beneath the surface of the Earth.
Hmm. What's the name of it?
I forget.
Aliens Living Beneath the Surface of the Earth.
Oh, that's simple to remember.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much know the story of the whole book. You don't need to buy it or read it.
It's all in the title.
Yeah.
Boom, done.
Actually, it's a cookbook. They just wanted to throw people off.
It's a cookbook!
All right. Good job, Anessa. Thank you. Wonderful story. Let's move on to... You mentioned something you said. Did somebody say the truth is out there or something like that?
Yeah, it says it at the end of the post.
Oh, okay.
It says, the lesson here, the truth is out there, or is it? Maybe, but probably not.
Okay.
Or it could be.
All right. Well, speaking of the truth is out there, I have an X-File story.
Boom.
There you go.
Nice little segue.
Perfect segue.
Yeah. Discover the origin of the X-Files in 1940s set Year Zero comic. Does that interest anybody?
If I still collected comic books, yes.
Okay. Well, you're still a collector at heart.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Okay. If I still cared about the X-Files, season 9 and 8 and 9 just really killed it for me. You know, about season 5, it jumped the shark.
Yeah.
You know, I went back and I rewatched most of the X-Files, and I had a lot less issue with Agent Doggett and the route that they took with him.
Mm-hmm.
The second time around, but the first time I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, because you were so used to, you know, the Scully and Mulder dynamic that all of a sudden you throw this new guy into it who's totally not like either of them. It really kind of jars you a little bit.
I think the thing that, not just that because you don't have like Mulder and Scully, but they kind of make Scully in such a way like her character is skeptic. But not really. Because she'll say, you know, Doggett, you have to believe. And then he's like, well, do you believe? She's like, no, not really. You have to open your mind, but I don't believe, sort of thing. And that was just really frustrating, the way they worked her character post-Mulder.
Yeah, because she, the whole time with Mulder, she was trying to disprove, well, most of the time. Mm-hmm. It started out that way. She was trying to disprove Mulder, and she kind of got turned into the Mulder character when Doggett came in. A little bit.
Yeah, kind of, but they didn't quite achieve that because she was still trying to be Scully and Mulder like simultaneously, and it didn't quite work.
Yeah.
But Agent Doggett himself, I think, I liked him. So.
Plus, he's the brother,
the lead singer for Filter.
Filter, yeah, and he was the T-2000, right, in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. All right,
he was at one of the last cons I went to as well.
Yeah, he's.
But I didn't get to see his panel.
He was. God, what did I see him in recently?
Did you go up to him and say, "I love you, Neil Patrick Harris"?
No, although it was funny because I was waiting in line to get an autograph from Katie Sackhoff. And he like popped his head out of the curtains. And
oh,
was like, hey!
Cute!
And he like.
That's awesome. That's neat.
It was adorable.
I just saw Katie Sackhoff tonight on an episode of Big Bang Theory.
Yep.
Which you can watch. Jeez. You can watch almost on any time of the day. It's on somewhere on cable.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just got my wife into Battlestar Galactica for the first time, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yay!
Anywho, the story. X-Files, Year Zero. Apparently, there's going to be a brand new 5-issue comic miniseries, and it will look at the creation of the FBI's X-Files office back in the 1940s and the beginnings of a mystery that stretches through the decades. And here's the official description from IDW, the publisher of this comic. In the 1940s, a shadowy informant known as Mr. Zero, with an X, X-E-R-O, directed the FBI to a number of paranormal cases that would soon be classified as X-Files, which were reserved for the improbable and unexplainable. When faced with an eerily similar Mr. Zero in the present, Agent Mulder resolves to uncover the truth about who is the mystery person and their connection to these cases. And it goes on, I've always thought the 1940s would be a wonderful setting for the X-Files, with the Russian Red Menace, atomic mutations, and flying saucers all lurking in the shadows. What I like to think of as UFO noir, said writer Carl Kessel. Carl Kessel is the writer of this comic series of the X-Files. Are you familiar with him, Brad?
Yeah, actually, he worked with Tom Grummett, and they worked a lot with during the reign of the Superman, when Superman supposedly came back, and they had four different super beings claiming to be Superman.
Yep.
And he'd done other things since then. So yeah.
Okay. So he's a pretty good writer, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, the reign of the Superman, I was not been. He's read. Yes, he has done some good stuff.
Okay. The X-Files Year Zero debuts this July with an upcoming board game from IDW Games, the ongoing Season 10 series. Apparently, that's a thing. And now this new adventure in the past, IDW is the essential stop for fans of the X-Files. So if you want to see the story continued, check that out. It's hitting comic book stands in July. It's called... X-Files, what's it? The X-Files Year Zero. Would this make you go out and buy some new books, Brad?
No.
No?
Sorry.
honest question.
You know, maybe I would get it as a graphic novel, or at least, you know, take a look at it and see if it would be worth buying. I lost a lot of passion for new comics, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or what, but...
You should say that in the old man voice.
Kids, comics these days, I don't understand them. I think they're crap. Back in my day, they knew how to write a good comic book.
Thank you. Wouldn't be an episode of The Alien Invasion without that. Good job.
It probably would, yeah. But yes.
Aw.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something else. Go onto our website, listeners or viewers, galacticnetcasts.com. I did a blog post this week about sci-fi shows that have been continued in other forms, in books and comics. This kind of relates because, you know, X-Files obviously ended with season 9, but they've continued with season 10 and this new miniseries of comics. So, check it out at galacticnetcasts.com. I swear there was one more. I was going to ask you guys, in this article, they mentioned that the history of the X-Files was touched on briefly. Do you guys remember how that was talked about or brought up in the series?
Actually, it was like right off the bat, because when Scully is asked to kind of work with him, he talked about, you know, the filing cabinets that line the entire wall of his, you know, basement office.
That's right.
And that he's gone through these old files that have been down here for God knows how long, and he's just been digging through things.
They could totally do another series, either taking place before Skulder. Mulder and Scully.
Mulder and Smully.
Or do it after, you know, do another series after they're done. I don't know.
Well, you know, they're looking to do the Peggy Carter Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. series for ABC, which would happen during the summer when the current day Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. show is on hiatus.
Oh, cool.
So it would be kind of cool to do, you know, maybe they could do something like that. Look at X-Files back in the day. Like that would the creation of that, I think that would be... It's weird. I'm saying I wouldn't buy the comic, but I would watch the show.
Well, you're not investing as much. Comics, they're an investment. You got to find room on your shelf. You know, you got to go out to the store. That's true. That's very true.
I'm so old school. I have to be able to hold it.
There you go, Brad. I'm proud of you.
That's what she said.
Keep it real.
I'm really happy that I am cool with digital because that means a lot less stuff I have to move paper-wise.
Word.
All right. So, X-Files fans, go check that out in July. And for the rest of us, let's hope for maybe a series someday. Never know in this TV landscape of ours that we live in today. All right. Third and final story. Brad, you're up. What do you got?
So I found this wonderfully huge story that I cut down, and I just realized that I'm going to have to kind of give a verbal summary of it. The title of this story is "The Telescope Big Enough to Spot Signs of Alien Life on Other Planets." Now, the project is the European Extremely Large Telescope, which sounds very comedic, but it's a serious deal. 88 million pounds are being invested towards this project, and the top of this 10,000-foot mountain is going to be leveled off. They're actually going to blast it with dynamite and flatten it out so that they can put this extremely large telescope. How extremely large? It's going to be around a 2,700-ton telescope housed in a 74-meter-high dome. So
bigger than Arecibo?
Arecibo is a radio telescope, as I recall.
Okay, got
this
it.
This is an optical telescope.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Two different ways of looking at the night sky.
Okay, got it.
So this is, and I'm sorry, did I say 88 million? I meant 800 million dollars.
Wow.
Pounds, sorry, 800 million pounds. It's going to be finished in 2025. So this is a serious time investment. A lot of serious work are being done on the top of the Cerro Amazonas Mountain. Now, obviously, if you're working with something this big, when you think of a telescope, you have like a smaller mirror that's silvered on the top part so you don't get any, you know, hazing through the glass, the thickness of the glass. This thing is going to be 798 individual hexagonal mirrored pieces, and they are going...
Oh, yeah, because it's really hard to make a piece of glass that big.
Yep. The beauty of this is they've actually engineered a system where they can adjust these pieces individually to compensate for wind, for... you know, if there's extra moisture in the atmosphere. The reason why they chose this place is because it is so dry up there. And the key thing that obscures the view of the night sky is water vapor in the air. It diffuses light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is so dry up there that they can have this at 10,000 feet in the air in an extremely dry place and get an absolutely clear night sky that they can view.
Is this the same place where they kind of basically replicate the surface of Mars? Like the NASA goes there all the time because it's so dry, and they want to see if they can find life forms living there, and if they try to find a place that's very close to the conditions on Mars. Is this the same place in Chile?
It could be, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, honestly, don't know.
So anyways, these individual pieces are going to basically make up a 39-meter mirror. I'm sorry, it's 800 segments. Yeah, well, it's around 800 segments. Now, they're 1.4 meters in diameter and only a few centimeters thick.
Wow. So large, I mean, and thin.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that's really fascinating, too, is you're going to have scientists at this extremely arid place doing this work. In order for them to make the conditions livable for these scientists that will actually be staying in one of the buildings, they've actually created a, just for the living area now, they have a swimming pool and an indoor tropical garden that is constantly watered by trucks that import water from the coast every day.
Oh, my God.
And with the tropical, basically they'll have moisture in the air in the living quarters with the swimming pool and with the tropical garden, so it's livable.
That's crazy that there's places on this earth that are almost not livable, you know?
Yeah.
It's like my, what I was talking about, the surface of Mars. It's very similar to the surface of Mars, the lack of moisture.
To answer Dave's question from earlier, yes, they do go to Chile, but they go to the Atacama Desert, not the mountains.
But same country, I got it right, kind of.
Yeah, you did. Now, what's interesting is this location is going to rival a location that's 20 kilometers away that previously had the record of being the largest optical telescope. And that's in Paranal, which is, I think I said, is 20 kilometers away. Mm-hmm. So between these two buildings, they will be able to pinpoint exosolar planets and then be able to use the larger telescope to actually be able to, at least for the closer ones, be able to view vegetation, if there is vegetation there, and see if there are seasons.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So if the color of the planet slightly changes because the vegetation on the planet goes through a fall or a spring, they would be able to see that difference.
That's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily looking for you know, bipedal life as we know it, but they're looking for vegetation-based life. They're looking for other signs of life.
Okay.
Not necessarily, you know, is the planet colonized or whatever.
And
so
all I got to do is figure out that whole faster-than-light thing that next.
Well, you know, I mean, when you think about it, if you're looking into space, you're looking back in time. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting, too, is the Paranal location that's 20 kilometers away. If you were to watch the movie Quantum of Solace, some of the final scenes in there were filmed at that location.
Okay, I remember that. I remember that scene.
So the last X-Men film, one of the locations that they wanted to use was that, but they wanted to fly helicopters over there, which is a complete no-go because they have finely crafted mirrors and stuff that can't really be disturbed at that level. So
yep.
They normally don't allow any kind of filming there except for this case of the Quantum of Solace movie. So again, a very large and involved article, well worth the read. But it's we'll have the link in the show notes, and it's from The Guardian, which is a UK publication, if I recall correctly.
So this will be done in 2025.
Yes. So it's a ways off, but considering what they're attempting to do,
yeah,
it's an engineering feat, and it's going to be amazing.
Sounds like they're in it for the long haul.
Absolutely.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. Three great stories tonight. Let's move on to our new feature. Dun-diddle-loo, dun-diddle-diddle-loo,
dun-diddle-loo. You have to make a new one, don't you?
I know. I don't have. I was thinking about producing something today, but I'm like, you know what? I've done enough for the day. So it's tiring. It's tiring living life.
Oh. My sounds aren't working. Otherwise, I was going to play something.
Okay.
I'm hearing a drum roll.
Yeah, I'm hearing
it. Are you?
Yeah.
Clicking
clock.
Yeah,
talk. For some reason, I'm not hearing anything. I apologize.
And then I heard a ticking clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or okay. As I said it, clicking talk. Anyways. I thought, you know what? We've been talking about the actual aliens ever since the very beginning. with the creature feature, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, what else is common among aliens? I'm going to ask you guys without I'm sure that you've seen what we're going to be talking about here, but just forget what you know. what else could we be talking about when it comes to aliens? What other aspects could we talk about?
Aliens on social media.
Okay, that's one.
Wow.
I don't know.
Aliens on social media. I could see that.
Alien
Facebook profiles. They Twitter.
Alien fashions, possibly? Fashions? No.
I always thought Iman was an alien.
Oh yeah, she does kind of. She has alien.
Well, actually, she played an alien in what, Undiscovered Country?
Yes, she was on Rurapinte with Spock and Kirk. Yeah, you're right. She was
and
the
of course Kirk nails her.
Bam. Yeah, she was the shapeshifter.
Yep.
All right, so let's not draw this out anymore. I decided to make a new feature that we will rotate through once in a while. We'll kind of rotate it with the creature feature, but it's called Craft Corner. What do you think we'll be doing or talking about in Craft Corner, Anessa?
Little alien style trinkets that you can make and find how to's on Pinterest.
No, that's not
glitter and popsicles.
No.
And don't forget the macaronis, noodles.
That'd be fun, but no. The craft in Craft Corner is spacecraft. So let's talk about. Let's talk about the different transportation modes of transportation that aliens have used, either in movies, TV shows. That's the same as we do with the creature feature. Either ones that people have reportedly have seen in Close Encounters or on movies and fiction type stuff. So. This kind of relates to my pick for the week, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But the first ever Craft Corner craft is the Black Triangle spacecraft. Have you heard of the Black Triangle spacecraft, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
I always think of the B-2 bomber, though.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought that that's what was being mistaken for these big Black Triangle spacecraft for the longest time. But there's been some recent sightings, and I think people by now know what the B-2 bomber, right? The B-2 bomber,
uh-huh.
Okay,
yep.
Looks like. And these move a lot slower in a lot of cases. So it's a class of UFOs with certain common features which have reportedly been observed during both the 20th and 21st centuries. The aircraft, like I said, maybe related to the rumored U.S. Air Force Aurora aircraft, which is not what we were talking about. We were talking about the B-2. Sorry. Reports generally describe this class of UFO as a large, silent, black, triangular object hovering or slowly cruising at low altitudes over cities and highways. Sightings usually take place at night. These objects are often described as having pulsing colored lights that appear at each corner of the triangle and sometimes in the middle as well. Black Triangle UFOs have been reported to be visible to radar, as was the case with the famous Belgian UFO wave. I like that, wave. During these incidents, two Belgian F-16s attempted to intercept the objects. Actually, they got a successful missile lock during two occasions, but they were outmaneuvered. Earlier this year, an aircraft matching the Black Triangle description was photographed multiple times over Kansas and Texas in the daylight. Did you see that, Anessa?
No.
You're in Texas, right?
It's a pretty big state.
I was going to say, it's small enough.
You can see. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Just a quick 7-hour drive to the Barrens. No big deal.
So some other instances of the Black Triangle UFO or spacecraft. A pyramid-shaped craft was reported to have landed near the American Air Base at Rendlesham Forest, which is a famous UFO sighting case. 1980, military personnel reportedly approached at least one landed craft in the forest and observed it in great detail before it took off. Another craft was observed landing in an open field near the base and then taking off at incredible speeds. In 1990, citizens of the city of Belgium, or a city in Belgium, spotted what appeared to be a large black triangular craft hovering silently for several minutes. Local police officials arrived on the scene and reported observing the object as it appeared to hover over apartment buildings. And in this one, one of the officers reported that the object released a red glowing disc of light from its center, which flew down to the ground and darted around several buildings before disappearing. Let's see. One of the more famous appearances of these crafts is known as the Phoenix Lights. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Phoenix Lights, right?
I believe so, yeah.
They were...
Yeah.
That's where multiple unidentified objects, many of them black triangles, were spotted by residents of Phoenix, Arizona, and videotaped by both local media and residents with camcorders across multiple evenings beginning Thursday, March 13th, 1997. And more recently, the St. Clair Triangle UFO over Illinois, Southern Illinois UFO, or Highland Illinois UFO, that's the different names for this, sighting occurred on January 5th, 2000, over several Illinois towns beginning shortly after 4 a.m. Five on-duty police officers around these locales, along with various other eyewitnesses, sighted and reported a massive silent triangular craft operating at unusual treetop level altitude and speeds. So there you go. That is our first craft corner, the Black Triangle spacecraft. And the first time that I ever remember hearing about this was, I think it was Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM. That was the UFO that he saw. That kind of made him a believer.
Interesting.
The whole concept of this huge, this gigantic black triangle just hovering there, silent, with no discernible, like, windows or lights, is kind of freaky when you think about it, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah. So, if you have a sighting that you want us to talk about, let us know. Contact galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, and we'll discuss your craft on the Craft Corner. Or we'll just
it's
dig
so it. It's so exciting. Sorry.
What?
Huh? Sighting. It's so exciting. Exciting. Oh,
oh, I get it. Okay, that's funny. That's very funny. Good job. Good play on words.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, like I said before, we'll kind of rotate this in with the creature feature. We'll talk about, you know, maybe the crafts from, what was it, Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Because there was multiple ones on that show, on that movie, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the options are limitless. We could talk about the Klingon cruisers. We could talk about the TIE fighters from Star Wars used by the Empire.
The X-Wing, the B-Wing, the A-Wing. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Nerd.
That's right. And I've kissed a girl. Bam. There is hope.
All right.
It's that girl. Hi.
Oh, stop it. All right. So, if you have any suggestions, too, for the Craft Corner, let us know. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. That is our voicemail number. You can also... That's our email address. Our voicemail number is 805-328-3966. Actually, you can use either to give us feedback on anything that we're talking about, including giving us suggestions for future Craft Corner segments. All right. And next time I will have some kind of produced intro for it.
Sweet.
Let's do our picks, beginning with Bradley.
So I got a Kindle.
Yay. What kind
of... my awesome girlfriend.
Oh, you're so nice, Anessa.
I know.
The gift of reading. Yay!
Hells yeah. And I was, you know, looking through to stuff to add to my my little library that I have in my Kindle, and I found something that kind of piqued my interest. It was 99 cents in the Kindle store, and it the book is the fourth science fiction mega pack.
Oh, wow.
It was 99 cents. And it's 25 stories from past sci-fi writers and current contemporary writers. And I saw Philip K. Dick's name. And I have read or tried to read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And it was kind of really hard to chew through. So I figured I would give another Philip K. Dick story another try. And the story in the book from him is Beyond Lies the Wub. W-U-B. W-U-B.
Okay. Is it like dubstep?
No, not even close. The story takes place in the future where interstellar travel is possible. And in this case, a ship has gone to Mars and they are trading with the Martians. So obviously this is a story from, you know, like the 40s and 50s. While they're on Mars, they are traded a creature called a wub. That's what the Martian natives called it. And it's described as a porcine creature. It basically looks like a big pig, a huge pig. They're guessing it's around 400 pounds. So, I mean, it's a very, very large pig. Their plan, because they got limited food supplies, is that they would eat this large pig, and a 400-pound pig would feed the crew for a little bit. They come to find out why they got the wub so cheap from the Martians when they find out that the wub can actually speak.
Oh, no.
The wub is an intelligent creature, and the wub has interesting abilities. It has the ability to actually get into people's minds and reshape reality for them, which is kind of a Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
Had schizophrenia.
Yeah. It goes so, along with what he was all about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the majority of his writing is about reality, not necessarily being real. What you think is real is not. And this is certainly the case in this particular story in Beyond Lies the Wub. I don't want to give anything away because it is a short story, and I'm only picking this one short story. I read a couple other ones, but this one really kind of – the ending is something I kind of expected, but how it happened, I didn't see it coming, and how it is related to you, the reader, as to how or what happens and the horror of one person realizing what has happened. So, a very good story, a very suspenseful story up until the end. I know I said I kind of guessed what was going to happen, but how it happened threw me for a loop. And I was left kind of feeling pretty creeped out after reading it. So, definitely a good read, a great story from the fourth science fiction mega pack from Amazon Kindle.
Okay.
And that is my pick.
All right, we'll have the link to that in the in both the show notes and on the picks section of our website at galacticnetcast.com. You buy it, you download it, and that's you can help support the show that way. Pretty neat. It's a win-win situation.
Woohoo!
All righty, who's next? Anessa, what's your pick?
My pick is actually something that was suggested to me by Facebook. It's an app.
Oh, it's one of those, like, it sees what you post or what you like, and it puts up suggestions kind of thing.
It puts up suggestions. It was a suggested app, and the app is called Project Capture, the UFO app. Hmm. And as far as I can tell, it's only available for iOS, unfortunately.
Was that the noise that I heard in the background?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Oh,
that was my landline ringing.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind.
So I'm like, totally not me. But anyway, so this app, basically, people can use this app to post UFO sightings to, and it will show a map of where people have posted UFO sightings. It'll say, so many sightings have been posted in a day. And it will link to various blog posts and whatnot that people have posted about their sightings, like more details. Like I saw one of these black triangles that Dave was talking about in over the mountain in West Texas or something. And then it'll also include like links to basically aliens in the news. So if you want an app that you want to use to keep track of unidentified flying objects and have UFO-themed news stories handy, then that would be the app for you.
Did you say that you can use it if you see a UFO, you can report it via this app or not?
Yes.
Okay.
The Project Capture, I'm going to see if I can sign in real quick. But it's on my phone and there's glare. But basically you have like a little map and all the little, there's a bunch of little aliens with beams or UFOs with beams shining down. And that's all the places that people have reported UFOs at.
Like in a certain, between a certain amount of time, like in the last week or?
Like I said, it's within the last 30 days.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, it'll go back as far as like the past 30 days. So in Texas in the past 30 days, there's been a sighting in Lubbock and then along the coast of the Gulf Coast. So
is this just U.S.? This just U.S. or can you see like North America?
It says worldwide, but I've not really ventured much to other places. Looking at the map, the vast majority of the activity is the United States. There's one sighting down in Chile near Santiago, and then there's one in South Africa near Durban, and then there's one somewhere out in the middle of the UK, one in the Netherlands, and one near Hamburg, Germany. But
Hamburg.
Yeah, if you look at the map and the concentration of UFO sightings, the United States reports a lot of them.
Gee, I wonder why.
And I don't know if it's just because this app is, like, people overseas haven't really come across this app yet, or if Americans just like to say that they see a lot of random things that they cannot identify.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just an English-speaking app, then that would make sense that most of the sightings would be in the United States.
But still, like, you... There are English-speaking countries that only have maybe like one or two sightings, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the UK, and they're really big on releasing their files about UFOs.
Yeah.
So people that are more open to acknowledging that extraterrestrials may exist, they don't really have a whole lot. And within the past 30 days, there's 46 new cases. None in Denton, because it also has a little section up here that talks about Denton, and then you have worldwide, and then you've got recent UFO news. And so if you click on more news, it'll give you, like, articles. Huge triangular UFO reported by two ex-military men in Georgia, for example.
Triangular.
There you go. There's another one, black triangle sighting, and please... What? Black... Wow, they totally didn't write that right. So, but it's basically people talking about, like, their... sightings. It's like black triangle sighting, skip random gibberish that they put in Michigan.
Okay.
In March. And then they'll have like UFO news for the day, and it'll just have like various links to like Huffington Post or wherever.
Is it getting the information from the app, or is it coming from like the UFO reporting bureau or whatever that's called?
I believe it gets it from Open Mind, at least a lot of the stuff from Open Mind magazine.
Okay.
Which is a magazine that talks a lot about extraterrestrials and UFO sightings and whatnot. Just stuff that's kind of out there.
Okay.
But it's a free app. You can pay $1 if you don't want the ads, but the ads just hang out at the bottom. They're not in the way or annoying or anything.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
It's an interesting suggestion. It's... Like I said, it only appears to be in iOS at this time. I don't think it's in Android.
I bet that you could find a similar app in Android, because they usually have, if there's one...
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, if there's one type of the same app on iOS, it's usually on Android and vice versa. So if you really want that kind of app, then just search the Play Store. I'm sure you can find something similar. All right. Good job, Anessa. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and rounding up the picks is mine, and I really wanted something Canadian this week, since that's where I live now, and I found a series called Alien Mysteries. It's a Canadian UFO documentary series, which premiered March 3rd, 2013, featuring eyewitness testimony that's produced for Discovery Channel Canada. The show features real-life stories of ordinary people who fall victim of alien abduction or attack. It's also available in the U.S. on the Destination America network, which is owned by the Discovery Channel Network Company, whatever it's called. So
Discovery.
There you go. So the episode I found it on YouTube. I can't find it anywhere else. In the episode I watched, it spotlighted a woman from British Columbia who witnessed a large black boomerang or rectangular-shaped UFO one night with her boyfriend, and she experienced missing time. So basically, she's out there on the deck. They're drinking tea, and they're looking up at the sky, and they see this huge black triangle. And he's like, oh, we got to get inside. We have to go. So he goes inside. She stays out there, and she thinks that she's just a few minutes looking up at the UFO. But he comes back. He's like, where'd you go? I couldn't find you for an hour. I've looked everywhere. So apparently she was abducted during this sighting, and she experienced missing time. So basically what she did was she did some more research, called the UFO Reporting Center. She found out that other people saw the same thing. And then she kind of did some soul searching and discovered or realized that she had a similar incident when she was younger, where she was out with some friends, I think Halloween, and she got lost in the woods, and she came home, and they thought that she was gone for like a few hours, and she thought it was a few minutes. So she had another incident in her house. She woke up, and there was some beings inside her house, and then I think she moved or something like that, and then later on, like maybe 10 years later or something like that, one of her friends came up from Vancouver or something, and they were out driving one night, and they went stargazing, and they had another incident where they saw a UFO, and they actually saw the creatures, and the creatures attacked the car, and they like barely got away. And it turns out that this same triangular UFO stopped by the house and picked up her daughter as well, because the next morning everybody was like feeling all sick and their noses were running and that kind of thing. And they got into the whole like when UFOs will abduct you or aliens will abduct you, they abduct you for the rest of your life. And they also touched on, you know, taking fetuses out of women and growing, you know, not mutant. What's the word I'm looking
Hybrid.
For? Hybrid. Thank you. Hybrid human aliens. And it was really interesting because a lot of times with these abduction cases, you get the story from the victim being put under hypnosis, but she remembered all this stuff. I mean, she remembered being abducted, and then her daughter actually was drawing pictures of these aliens who abducted her apparently as well. And one of them she called the doctor. And this is not the doctor in the TARDIS in the blue box. Totally different doctor. So if you can, watch this series or find episodes of the series. They're on YouTube. That's the only place I could find them. But you may want to look. I'm discovering the joys of living in a different country because you can find things on YouTube, but not necessarily watch them on YouTube because I live in a different country. Or Netflix, some things are available in the U.S. that aren't available in Canada and vice versa. So if you can find it, I highly recommend it. It's called Alien Mysteries. It's got one season, about maybe 7 episodes or something like that. And I haven't heard or didn't find out anything whether they're going to have a season 2 or not. But it's all It's all Canadian UFO abduction stories or sighting stories.
You know, whenever I hear about like abduction stories and, you know, marks on the body and missing time, it always makes me think about when you have biologists that go out and, you know, they tag and release sharks, or they tag and release bears, or study other creatures. Usually they knock them out,
mm-hmm.
and then they tag them with something.
Oh yeah, it's totally similar.
And then they come to, and it's like, well, what if
yeah.
alien abductions are aliens studying a species they don't understand?
Yep. I think
these are the things that I think about.
No, and I think about the same things, Brad. And I think I've always had the theory in my head that these aren't actual space aliens. They're from a different dimension. Or they're from our future. They're time travelers from way ahead in the future. And that's why they're abducting humans to grab their embryos, because they're dying out. That's another theory of mine. So.
Dun, dun, dun.
We shall see someday. Maybe we'll find out. You never
Maybe.
Know. Yeah. All right. So those are our picks. Alien Mysteries, Project Capture, the UFO app, and the story by Philip K. Dick called, what's it called again?
It's called Beyond Lies the Wub.
Cool. All right. We'll have the picks in, or the ones that we can actually have the links to on the picks page at galacticnetcast.com, and have all the links to all these stories on the show notes to go along with the podcast as well. All right, that's going to do it for this Alien Invasion podcast number 102. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the show by going to iTunes, search for Galactic Netcasts, or search for Alien Invasion. We're also on Stitcher, but of course, all the links to everything we do, including our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, all at galacticnetcast.com. Call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966, as we always do. Before we get out of here, final thoughts. Let's start with Brad. Comic books? You want more?
I really need to prepare.
You're looking around going, what can I talk about in my room?
Anessa's moving in.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
So are you
making the trek across country?
So not only is Anessa preparing for the journey by getting, you know, streamlining her stuff, putting things in boxes, but you must be doing some alterations to your place too, right?
Sort of. I'm working on it. I got things that are going on all the time, and it's hard to do things when I have Alex on the weekend, so it's been incredibly slow going. So I think I'm going to take a little bit of time off before Anessa actually moves in and have a couple of days to actually really kind of kick butt and get stuff done. So,
good idea. Very good idea.
That's the working plan.
All right. Good final thought. And final thought for Anessa for 3 weeks. This better be a good one.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's it?
And we get dubstep.
Whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop. I'm sorry, but that name just makes me think dubstep.
Okay. You do wub wub wub, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Wub 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 wub.
There we go. We made a song. That's awesome.
Yay!
So that's your final thought?
Yep.
Okay. Good enough. All right. We'll miss you, Anessa. We'll see you in 3 weeks in Wisconsin. That'll cut down on the amount of words in the introduction. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Cuts down all 3 or 4 words.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.